us pray. O Christ, our Savior, we call upon you in prayer this day and implore you that the Father deal with his children in love and mercy, and that we who are called by his name would willingly take up our crosses in daily repentance and follow you faithfully through the narrow door into everlasting life. Defend and protect your people from all calamity, by fire and water, from drought and pestilence, and from every other evil that would befall us. And grant that we would walk before you with holy reverence and awe. Grant health and strength in heart and mind, body and soul, especially to those who are suffering in any way. Deliver us from harm and danger, and place us into the peace and protection of your holy angels. We pray for those who have asked it of us, especially those who are grieving the death of loved ones, including the family and friends of Whitaker Frank Davis, the family and friends of Kathleen Berndt, and the family and friends of Rhoda Boss. Father, bring reassurance, comfort, peace, and hope to these grieving families. We pray also for those who are facing or recovering from health concerns: Robert Waldron, Dale and Jenny, Claude Pierre, Scott Pariseau, Barb Erickson, Laura Anderson, Paul Cobb, Carl Cioni, Lenore Stevens, Betty Owens, Bill Ruckel, Jasper Sugg, Bob and Ann Minock, Marilyn Stargard, Michael Komick, Bill Burr, B. Curry, Jane Tylenda, Pat Nels, Gloria Peterson, Myrna Orova, Grace Whitelaw, Jennifer Sloan, Susan Hollingsworth, Bev Holsing, Patrick Gorman, Cheryl Timlin, Penny Colville, Karen Barker, Christopher Teeley, Helen Hotaki, and Bob and Linda Goldthorpe, Heather, Ian, and Sheila. And Father, we pray that you would grant Elizabeth Ross strength and endurance during this day. And also we pray, O Lord, that you would watch over Ken Lang, a friend of Rick Russ, who was scheduled for open heart surgery Thursday. Lord, we also pray for those who are in hospice care: Eileen Ging, Mr. Cagle, and Jean Sugg. Grant them peace and faith as they await your call home. Continue to watch over the president and all local and world leaders. Grant them wisdom and good judgment. We continue also to pray for the men and women who are serving our nation in branches of the military, and again for the Krenz family as they prepare to move to Königstein, Germany. Lord, we rejoice with all who are celebrating birthdays and wedding anniversaries today. And also, we celebrate with Jessica Nowicki and Donald Martin, who were married yesterday, and pray you would continue to bless them in their life together as husband and wife. We give you thanks for the flowers upon the altar given by Greg, Kaki, Robert, and Dwight, in thanksgiving to you for Naomi Merriman and the celebration of her birthday. And Lord, we give you thanks also for the flowers at the lectern given by Amy and Eric Stein, who are celebrating their third wedding anniversary. Pour out your continued blessings upon them. We thank you for the generosity of those sponsoring the Family of God Soup Kitchen this month, the Orova, Beyer, and Stargard families. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way also, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of all of your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always."
We rise. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give to you his peace. Clear eyes.
Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, I did a wedding at the DAC, Detroit Athletic Club, you know, nice venue for a wedding, and went there for rehearsal. Rehearsal went well, and then, you know, was up at that new floor on the very top, and you can walk around all outside right over the baseball diamond, see over the city, and then I noticed that part of the walkway was blocked off, and there were tables and chairs, and I inquired, because I heard a rumor, and I was right, that was the cigar lounge. And so I walked around and opened the door, and there's guys in there smoking cigars, and I thought, you know, I'm coming back early tomorrow. I know I'm not a member, but you wear a clerical, you get away with so much. So I'll just walk in and, you know, have a cigar. So I make my plans. I go to a wedding pretty early. When it's here, I get here early. But if it's offside, I especially get there early. It's not my surroundings, you know, a little uncomfortable. So I get there early, and the wedding's at 5, and this is before 4, plenty of time. And I go to the door, and it's locked. But it doesn't open until 4:30. It's like the roadblocks all around Michigan and all around our own building. You know, you have a plan. You're going to do it. You're going, you know, this is your goal. And then all of a sudden, you hit a roadblock. All of a sudden, you're detoured. I thought, what should I do now? And then I remembered one of the members at Redeemer took me to a cigar bar across the street from the DAC. It's not really across the street, but you can see it from the DAC. So I walked over there and got a cigar. You know how I like to be at a wedding early. This is sort of ironic. I get there, I have my cigar, and I'm done. And by the time I'm done, it is pouring rain. And I got the wedding documents with me, the certificates, my book. And I thought, well, if I run over there, I'm going to be so... Do I call Uber to drive me across the street? So it's past 4:30. The wedding's at 5. I'm getting nervous. And finally, the rain subsided a little. And so you see this guy with a black clerical running all the way to the DAC. I hacked up a lung and did a pretty good wedding. But it's amazing the people you meet when you wear this. When I went to buy the cigar, there was a gentleman where I was purchasing it. Baptist background, and he thought I was a priest. He said, "Hi, Father," and, you know, I said, "Well, I'm Lutheran." He says, "Oh, I wanted to ask you a question about private confession and absolution." And I said, "Oh, well, we do that too," and we talked a little. It was a good conversation. Then I go in the next room where you have the cigar, and there's a lot of people downtown because there's a Kenny Chesney concert going on, so there's a lot of people from out of state, and I go in there, and there's this lady. She's sitting at the bar. She's my age, maybe a little older, from Utah. And she's like, "Oh my gosh, a priest. You know, in Utah, I don't get to see any clergy. And so let me take your picture." So we're doing a selfie. And I'm like a rock star over there. And, you know, it's all because of a detour. You don't realize many times God uses a detour to get you where you need to be. We get frustrated when we come to that blocked road. We get upset when we realize that our plans have to change, and maybe our schedule has to change, and we're not going to reach our destination as we hoped, at least on the given time we hope. And maybe our destination is going to be totally different. The children of Israel, God is going to bring them out of Egypt to the promised land. You heard in our lesson, they could have gone the shortcut, but God knew going through the Philistine area, going through battle, immediately getting their freedom, they may lose their strength, they may lose their trust and confidence in God. And so God had them take the long way. Sometimes God has to take the long way to get us where we need to be. There may be a shorter path, but that path can mean danger to us, or that path may bring harm to our faith. Or that path may take away an opportunity for a blessing that God is going to give us going the long way. Sometimes he takes us the long way. You know, when you hit that detour, you have to look for clarity. You have to ask yourself, what now? This path is blocked. What is the next direction? How do I get around it? How do I make a plan and pursue it? And sometimes you have to wait on God for clarity. It was Thomas Aquinas who said that humankind proposes and God disposes. In the end, God is in charge. What Thomas Aquinas is saying is really the same thing that Proverbs 16:9 says. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. That when you're on that journey may not go as you plan, but God is in charge. Just like he was in charge with the children of Israel. He traveled with them night and day in the pillar of fire and smoke. Night and day. And what are we told? He went before them. God goes before us in our journeys, no matter where that journey is taking us. You know, don't judge something as bad until God gets through with it. And God's no's, his no's are also a yes to something else. Maybe in life, you know, I'm thinking of the college kids now, you know, they're going to college and some are just starting their first year. Maybe they're going to a college, a university that, you know, was second, third choice on their list. Maybe it wasn't the first one they wanted, what they dreamed and what they hoped. And for them to know that God has a plan, it doesn't matter what you chose, God has a different plan. And God's going to use that. Maybe it's your career and you feel you're at a dead end, you don't know what to do next. Wait for clarity. Maybe God is saying, this is your opportunity. I want you to go a different direction in life. Maybe it's in relationships. And it's time to take the long way around. No time for shortcuts. It's time for honesty and conversation. The destiny is worth it. Even in our second reading from Acts, Paul and a number of other, you know, missionaries were traveling, a missionary trip. They planned to go one way. Now you would think, well, everybody's going to be happy with a missionary trip. Shouldn't God be happy too? But God didn't want them to go that way. We're told that the Spirit blocked them. This would happen twice to Paul. The Spirit would block him in a path. We don't know how that came. Was it a gut feeling? You know, sometimes you get that feeling and really it's God telling you, don't go that way, go this way. Well, then they get to call to Macedonia. They get to take the message to Europe. God had a plan. I want it started here first. Then we'll go there. And we have to trust in God that he has a plan. Jesus met a roadblock in his hometown. What was that roadblock? We're told it was a lack of faith. In the Gospel of Mark that tells about the same story, we're told he healed a few by laying hands upon them, but only a few. The miracles he intended or could have accomplished did not happen. Why? Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. Back to the cigar bar. A young lady comes in, mid-30s. She's a friend of this other lady from Utah. So my new friend from Utah is quick to introduce us. And this young lady says, you're not going to like me. And, you know, all of a sudden, the person from Utah said, oh, is he not going to like you because what you did last night? You know how many times I hear that from people? And she said, no, you're not going to like me because I don't believe in God. And, you know, you realize God has a purpose in our journeys. He has a purpose when he reroutes us. And, you approach people differently than you would in church. You're never going to find this young lady in this sanctuary. You're going to find her in that cigar bar. That's where you're going to find her. Because she has no time for this. This doesn't make sense. But she still wants to talk. She's out there. I don't believe. I said to her, what is it to me whether you believe or not? I don't care. Now, obviously, I do. But it opened up conversation and dialogue. She's in the process of getting a divorce. She lost her job, starting a new job. She has a physical ailment that's going to restrict her abilities very soon. She's already suffering from the effects. Her life is changing so drastically. I don't believe in God. Of course I care. Of course I care. And in the midst of that conversation, I told her, I said, it doesn't matter whether you believe in him or not, he still loves you. And I told her also, I said, I think you're searching for a hope to believe in God, or you would have never told me that right from the beginning. I don't believe in God. Now, I don't know, cigar, not a long conversation. I don't know what impact. But you meet people along the journey, and those people hopefully make a difference, like the people you meet. You know, Paul said, he said when it talked about the work of the church, bringing people to faith, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. It is God that makes it grow. But when you think about how God uses each and every one of us, and we're not going to meet that young lady in this church, we're going to meet her out there, whether it's at the bar or at the restaurant or at the supermarket or in the workplace. You're going to meet that person out there who doesn't believe. They want to believe. They don't. And think, God often sends you on a detour in life to meet up with that person. Don't be so angry or frustrated that your journey isn't going as you hoped, that you miss out on the opportunity to bring somebody a message of hope, a message of promise, a message of faith. You know, as individuals or as families, sometimes God puts you at that dead end to turn you in a different direction. Same thing with churches. Now, sometimes in a church, we just like to say, I want to stay where we're at. This is fine. This is perfect. You know what? When you do that, you start to go backward. But just like your individual lives. But you always have to move forward. You say, where should we go? You pray for God's direction. But sometimes God puts a roadblock and he says, oh, wrong way. I want you to invest your money into this kind of ministry. I want you to reach out in this type of community. He can change everything. You know, humankind proposes. It's God who disposes. And for us to bring people into the shadow of the cross, to discover the forgiveness we know. Jesus didn't do many miracles in his hometown, not because faith is the magic formula. Jesus didn't have the power because people didn't believe. Jesus had the power. He created heaven and earth, the Bible tells us. But because they didn't ask, didn't receive. That's why he only healed the few that sought him out. I wonder if there's some days in our life where Jesus looks at us and he's amazed at our lack of faith. I bet he is. Mine and yours, that journey can bring us to many low points. But to know he goes before us, to know that no matter what the detour, what the roadblock, what the passage, he is before us, and to have trust and confidence and faith in him, to know that we can bring him any request, and that he is almighty and all-powerful, and he can do all things, and to know he is not against us, but he's on our side. As you leave Redeemer today, you're going to hit many roadblocks just trying to get out of this parking lot. Think about the roadblocks in your life, and what God has done and what he plans to do in the future. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to sing the offertory.
The Old Testament reading for today is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter, for God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear on oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they encamped at Etham, on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading for today is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 6 through 12. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Here ends the epistle reading.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The gospel reading this morning is recorded in St. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" they asked. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own town and in his own home." And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Here ends the gospel reading. We join together and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. And upon this your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you this day. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated.
Invite the children forward for the children's message. Good morning. You know, I told my wife we had bed bugs, but she doesn't believe me. I got awful itch. Wow, I can't reach it. Oh. You know, sometimes you need a little help, right? There's like a little hand. See that hand? Sometimes you just need a little hand, and like maybe you fall down and somebody puts out their hand and helps you up. Maybe, you know, it's almost time to go back to school. Yay! Yay! And your teachers, they help you learn. They give you a hand and help you learn. That's what they're there for. Parents give you a hand all the time. Maybe it's a friend giving you a hand, helping you. But sometimes we need a helping hand. Do you think God ever needs a helping hand? Think God ever knew, well, he needs some help up here? No, because he's all powerful and he can do everything. But you know what's really neat and really special? And wow, such an awesome responsibility. God wanted all the world to know about Jesus. And instead of sending his angels or God coming down and telling everybody, he took that little group of disciples, the followers of Jesus, and he said, tell everybody about me. And that's why we're here today, because they did their job. And that's one thing Redeemer does. As a child of God, because we're brothers and sisters in Jesus, we go out and tell people about Jesus, about how we're always loved, how God always loves us, how he always forgives us, how he's always with us like that helping hand. And many times he's that helping hand through somebody else. So I want you to remember that. And guess what you get today? Yeah, you got it. A back scratcher. But August is a poor giving time at Redeemer, so we had to downsize, okay? But when you get your back scratched, you can go back to your seat. And I want to thank you for coming up. And yeah, life is full of disappointments, I know. Good morning. Like to welcome everyone to worship, and as always, don't forget to sign the guest card at some point during our worship service. Don't forget coffee hour immediately following in the town square. And a number of announcements. Sunday school, our fall program year is just around the corner. If you'd like to help teach Sunday school, we would love to have you. Check out the announcements concerning that need for Sunday school teachers. Also, women's ministry, they're going to Royal Eagle Tea Room. It's at a Russian Orthodox church, beautiful church. Great event, so check that out if you're interested. Also, JAMS, our middle schoolers and youth group, are going to Cedar Point the 25th. That is in your announcements also. And the kickoff pool party for the senior youth group is August 28th. Also, September 11th, our church picnic. Love to have you. Bring a dish to pass. Great opportunity to bring a guest, a friend, an on-church person you know, the Redeemer. And please stay for the events following the late service. Also, the Zoo Brew is coming up. Speaking of the zoo, we found 4 tickets, DTE Energy, for the zoo coming up. Whoever dropped these. If not, I'll be going to the zoo the 27th. And the Zoo Brew is September 23rd. And obviously, it is what it says. You go to the zoo and you have some brew. And we went a couple years ago, with your ticket, you get 12 samplings of different beers. So if you're interested, great fellowship event. Check that out in the announcements. Also, as many of you probably know already, Kathleen Burns was called to her heavenly home this past week. There is visitation at Desmond Funeral Home on Crooks Road today from 3 to 9 o'clock. There is visitation before the service here at Redeemer in the town square at 10:30 tomorrow with 11 o'clock worship service in the sanctuary. Obviously, we keep her family in our prayers. We rise for opening hymn.